This is Business by the Bay, here to discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions. Your host, Ajay Sani.
Hello and welcome everyone to Business by the Bay, where we talk to successful business leaders and discuss various challenges businesses face and also possible solutions. I'm Ajay Sani and today's show is sponsored by Payroll Vault. It is a local payroll service provider for small businesses. Payroll Vault fully handles the payroll tasks and take over complex payroll activity from the business owners and are also helping qualified businesses get ERC, Employee Retention Credit. The credit is up to $5,000 per employee for 2020 and up to $7,000 per employee for the first three quarters in 2021. For details, please call Payroll Vault at 925-273-7020. Today, I'm very excited to have in studio with me, Bell Walker, who is the founder of Bellevue Consulting. She takes organizations from friction to function, recapturing lost efficiency and engagement by aligning ways of working with strategic goals. Her clients span from technology, professional services, nonprofits, a lot more. Prior to consulting, Bell built several successful teams for HERE Technology, including one responsible for the quality of maps for autonomous vehicles and received two patents. Bell began her career at Google, building a nationwide aerial photography operation. She has also built product management and customer service organizations. She has a mechanical engineering degree from Harvard and a systems engineering master's from USC, where her research studied organizations as systems. Good afternoon, Bell. How are you?
Good afternoon. I am excellent. I'm very excited to be here today.
Yeah, Bell, you have a very impressive resume. So why don't we start with your journey and, all the way what made you decide to start Bellevue Consultancy?
Yeah, I often describe myself as an accidental engineer. So I have a lot of family members who are engineers. I think fifth generation, if you go up the right branches of the family tree. And So it genuinely never occurred to me that I could study something other than engineering. So I studied mechanical engineering undergrad, but at the same time, I was very active in the theater, stage managing, and taking a lot of non-engineering classes as much as I could. Mm-hmm. And I've always been very people-oriented. Mm-hmm. And so you can see that first role out of school was not a traditional engineering position. Mm-hmm. Instead, I was building an organization, and I realized that a lot of these principles I had come into contact with in engineering applied really effectively when talking about organizations and structures and guiding people. And so I got really intrigued by that idea, dug in my grad school research. That's actually when I founded Bellevue Consulting, because I didn't see anyone else talking that way. But then I promptly got cold feet, went and worked for other people for many years, which I'm really glad I did. It was so valuable to put those practices to the test, right, mm-hmm. and make sure they really worked. And there's a concept called scientific management, which you may have run into, and it's nonsense. Right. It's this notion that people are interchangeable cogs in a machine. I think at this point we know that is not true. But if you take a step back, cogs are not interchangeable cogs in a machine. You can't open your watch and move the gears around and expect it to continue working. Mm-hmm. So if you really take an engineering approach, you really look at the materials, the constraints, the problem you're trying to solve, you will come up with the right solution. And I love being able to bring that semi-unnatural way of thinking that I have really learned and taken to heart over time to this realm that I'm so passionate about of enabling people to do their best work.
Very good. So when you talk about organizations, structures, and processes, what exactly does that mean?
It means so many mm-hmm. things. I tend to summarize it as the invisible infrastructure of an organization. So sometimes it's the words overlap, right? An org structure is a structure. It provides some boundaries, some guidelines around what your role is, who your immediate contacts are. But it can be everything from values to communication norms. So a great example is meta communication. this is often a facet of the culture of a business, but how I would communicate to you when something is urgent mm-hmm. will vary from company to company and team to team. So in some organizations, there's a different technical solution. I would be expected to find you in person or use a phone instead of Slack or vice versa for something that's really urgent. And knowing what those norms are guide our decisions, our interactions, and all of those pieces are structures that can either be aligned and support our mm-hmm. business goals or can provide these unnecessary sources of friction that make it harder to get where we're trying to go together.
Cool. And you mentioned, like, you know, that we cannot treat humans as, like, you know, some kind of a mechanical part that you take it out and replace it with another. And it's like, when we were talking that, I was just thinking that in an organization, culture means so much. And then also how things are perceived and structured can make a big difference. For example, if there are roles defined and I'm supposed to be just focusing, say, on marketing, and that's what I'm looking at, it could be a case of where I can really be involved in sales and help out another department, or even if I'm interacting with a potential client, then I can even do a sales pitch. But then the way I need to do it, maybe I need to be aware of what my boundaries are to an extent, so that even if I'm doing a good job, I'm not being perceived as I'm stepping on someone else's work or trying to do. It could be so many, you know, emotional aspects, how people view things can make a big difference.
Absolutely. And as those emotions come into play, I think that's where the structures become even more important. So taking that example of somebody who is in marketing and has an opportunity to support a sales team, mm-hmm. I have several engineering friends who are in organizations where a major source of tension is between sales and engineering, because they don't always have perfectly aligned communication on what is possible on mm-hmm. a particular timeline with all the other projects and items going on. And so a marketing person may, in a company like that, have a fabulous idea that they bring to a client, and the salesperson is sitting in the room saying, oh no, my engineers are going to be so unhappy when they hear this. And mm-hmm. so the intent is so beautiful. And if there's a norm where the marketing person is, for example, engaging with the salesperson in the room and saying, mm-hmm. wow, you know, have you thought about this as a way to support our client here? Mm-hmm. The salesperson has an opportunity to respond to that and say, oh, yes, and here's where the timeline I think might be possible. Dear customer, does that work for you? Versus somebody who is used to just speaking directly to the customer has to have that additional background.
Right.
Of course, you can give your marketing team that background. There, in my opinion, is no one right answer for any situation. Mm-hmm. There is the answer that works best for your team and your dynamic. And gaming out, talking through exactly these kinds of scenarios can go a really long way towards building structures, processes, practices mm-hmm. that will work end to end for the whole business, the whole organization.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting overall, right? To solve the, you know, the puzzles, sometimes they are there are visible puzzles and sometimes there are invisible puzzles.
Yeah, I often describe systems engineering as engineering at the boundaries. So, mm-hmm. for example, in an aerospace context, for a satellite, for example, satellites have to be pretty self-sufficient, right? You might have solar panels, but there's only so much energy once it's launched that can come in, that can be used. And the systems engineers are the ones looking at all these different components to make sure that power budget is sufficient. There's a lot of black boxes.
Right.
Right. It's really making sure that at the boundaries, at the edges, everything plays well together. And it allows me to find that balance between recognizing I cannot read people's minds. There's always going to be an element of that kind of black box nature of humanity. And yet we all have flexibility and we all have a little bit of fuzziness, for mm-hmm. lack of a better word, at our own boundaries, where we learn, where we grow, where we explore, and having that as an open conversation, I think really opens up the possibilities.
Very true. So, Bell, moving on, you know, business owners and, you know, various management teams, if we look across different organizations, we see a lot of times they are stressed out. And you work with, you know, a variety of organizations. So what are the common challenges you see businesses face?
So often challenges, when I'm talking to a mm-hmm. business owner, they're facing challenges around overload, being stuck in the business instead of working on the business, to mm-hmm. use kind of a common trope. I like to think of it as a business that is being held together with spit and duct tape and the individual charisma of one or two leaders. And what they're really looking for is a system that they can lean on for success. Mm-hmm. So they have, what the businesses I work with have, people that they trust, people that they believe in, and they're realizing that knowing where they're trying to go and having a great team are necessary but insufficient elements to achieving success. So the primary point of stress I get to engage with is that kind of uh-oh, now what moment.
Okay. And when you see that happening and you start the conversation, so from a sort of, you need to look into various aspects of it, and it could be a case of, like, you know, one person or set of people trying to do too much, right? So in that case, it could be a case of having the right team and people in the right place, so that it's like more where we are good at, knowing our strengths and having a right team, or even in some cases, go outside and outsource some of those functions. Could be, you know, some of those things that you may suggest or you may be working based on. We'll come to that, like how exactly you help your clients. But do you have a, like, you know, kind of a generic idea or something that you want to share, that when is it a good time to hire someone in-house and when it is advisable to have, you know, certain functions outsourced?
Yeah, this is where I think there's, it is yet another place, I should say, where I think there's real value in exploring the business needs and the role definition and the role scope before bringing individual people into the conversation. And we'll probably go into more depth mm-hmm. in this a little later on. But if you start with the business needs and, for example, design a team in the abstract, how I want these roles to cover all of the elements I know I need for my business, mm-hmm. I have an opportunity to really think about each one and say, for my scale right now, do I need a full-time salesperson? Do I need a full-time marketing person? How do I want to think about this? And when you have that baseline, if you just hold those pieces steady and try mm-hmm. to slam people into the roles, we're back to our scientific management, mm-hmm. treating people like interchangeable cogs, not helpful. But if you start with those business-driven kind of abstract ideas mm-hmm. and then start looking at the resources you have available, the people in your community, in your company that you could hire, mm-hmm. you can start to think a little more deeply about, well, in my case, I need incredibly intense sales expertise, mm-hmm. but I really only need it halftime. Okay, well, that might be a great opportunity to bring in a fractional sales executive versus, you know, we're really exploring a lot of options, that I've got a great product, but everything I'm seeing is that it kind of sells itself. Mm-hmm. I don't need somebody who's, you know, got the incredible depth of expertise, but I need them all day, every day. That's how we can start looking at shaping that role mm-hmm. for being in-house, or maybe our part-time sales also aligns with the part-time marketing role. And you mm-hmm. can start exploring, is this something I want one person thinking through both of these, helping build a department, versus where I want to be outsourcing? So it's a very convoluted answer mm-hmm. to the question, but I think it really boils down to understanding what you need today, understanding where you would like to be tomorrow, 2 years, 5 years from now, mm-hmm. and thinking through whether the enablers for right now make the most sense in-house or outsourced.
Yeah. And you don't want to be too late or hire too early when you really don't need that person, and you'll either frustrate that person by having, like, you know, in the team but really not enough work, or when the time comes, you don't have the person and you start looking for, so either you hire a wrong person or you wait to get the right person, and in the meantime, you miss out on a lot of, you know, opportunities to do certain things and may even put more pressure on the existing people.
Absolutely. And a lot of it also can be very industry dependent. Mm-hmm. So we're here in the Bay Area. There's a lot of tech executives. It's pretty common around here for someone with very deep experience to be willing to join a very small company to try and build and grow because they believe in where you're headed. Some more traditional business sectors, even nonprofits or professional services, may have a harder time attracting experienced leaders when they're in a smaller stage. And so, you know, that if you're a law firm, for example, that's deciding to create a dedicated marketing function, you may have an eye towards this much bigger firm that you're building. And you may need to start with an outsourced kind of fractional leader because you're having a hard time attracting someone to this kind of unique role in your industry. And so being able to establish and show this is what the person is doing, this is what you're taking on, that precedent can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen models used really effectively where you bring in outside expertise as a mentorship mm-hmm. role to bring more junior employees. So coming back to the example where you hire too early, okay, in a perfect world, we don't do that. But now what, right? Mm-hmm. I have somebody who's not growing with the role at the speed I need. One way to look at it is, can I bring in expertise and mentorship to accelerate that growth? Or vice versa, I hired somebody really senior,
mm-hmm.
they have great ideas, they can expand my strategic thinking, but can we outsource a little bit of the day-to-day work so that we're making the best use of their time?
Makes sense. Yeah, excellent. So coming back to outsourcing, and that could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
If there is an organization who is trying to grow or is struggling in efficiencies, at that point of time, the business decides, okay, there is a certain function that I need to outsource. So what's the best way to pick? Because no matter what we look for in today's world, there are multiple options available. So how do we decide who's the right fit? And this actually goes in a way, like it's just not the hiring thing. And during hiring also, you need to look in, but I'm looking more in terms of organizations that if I'm outsourcing a function, how do I pick the right partner?
Yeah, this is very tied in with performance management in general, whether mm-hmm. it's a partner or somebody who is full-time. This comes back to my belief that the more clearly defined the roles, the responsibilities, the expectations are, the more possible it is to understand, do I have the right people and how do I find the right people? So starting with the question of, let's say I've decided to outsource and I'm mm-hmm. trying to find the best organization. If I know what the deliverables I need are, if I can define how I want an organization to engage, I'm going to continue focusing on marketing to sort of keep this mm-hmm. theme consistent. If I know that I would like outsourced marketing support where I will have at least one person available 3 days a week and no longer than 2 day turnaround time on certain expectations, if I can set that norm on my end, when I go and start interviewing companies, I don't have to share that up front. I mm-hmm. can say, tell me about how you engage with your clients. Tell me about what expectations you set and wait and see what they come back with. But it's really important to have your ideas and your needs articulated first, because we can fall into this trap of, oh, company A says they have a 2-hour turnaround time. And company B has a 4-hour turnaround time. I should really go with the 2-hour turnaround time because that sounds better and mm-hmm. faster. There's so many other factors. What if company A is twice as expensive and you had 2 days as your desired turnaround time? You don't actually work on a time scale where that 2 versus 4 hours will matter. If you haven't thought it through ahead of time, it's so easy to get caught up in mm-hmm. faster, better, now. Setting those norms ahead of time helps you really say, what do I need? What is the best use of my funds? And where is quality going to mm-hmm. be the most important for me?
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on, Bill, how does your company help your, you know, how you're helping your clients?
So I like to say that when I engage with clients, we are always following an engineering problem-solving approach.
Okay.
We're starting by figuring out what is the problem that we need to solve, which seems straightforward, but often is not. So there's a principle called 5 whys that you may have run into in the past, where you ask, what is it you're trying to do? Why are you mm-hmm. trying to do that? No, really, why? No, really, why? And you continue going until you truly cannot find a deeper reason. That is often one of the most important services I can bring to my clients. I am sharing this with all of your listeners. Mm-hmm. I encourage them to do this by themselves, right? Because there are 2 pieces to effective support in this kind of scenario. 1 is having the tools, and 2 is having the perspective. Asking these questions when you are in the business every day, you know, neck deep, may make it very difficult to really get to those root causes. But if not, great, go, run, please mm-hmm. understand your root cause issues. When I engage with a client, we start by really digging in. You tell me that your processes are inefficient. Often, just a quick example, we find that the processes are inefficient not because the process is poorly defined, but because the ownership of process steps is poorly defined. And the ownership of process steps is poorly defined because the roles are poorly defined. And so what we really need to be looking at is, how are your roles defined? Or maybe they're not poorly defined, they're overloaded, back mm-hmm. to your point. And when you look at it on paper, nobody could do all the things you're asking your mm-hmm. team to do. So we really spend a lot of time figuring out what's the problem we're trying to solve, and then understanding the constraints that this business is working with, understanding the resources that are currently available, that are on the table, that are an option. And often by the time we know truly what the problem we're trying to solve is, truly what the resources available are, and truly what the constraints we're working with are, there's only a limited number of solutions that will really fit that answer. So we're taking an entire universe of business concepts and principles and best practices and boiling it down to what is really important and relevant for you right now to move the needle and get where you want to be.
Got it. And typically when the clients come to you, or is there, in other words, I want to ask, is there a percentage, like most of the people are coming to you because their productivity is low, or it's more like they're not happy with their sales, or they are not happy with their sort of the way they are investing, or is there a pattern, or it doesn't matter, you get like clients with a wide variety of issues?
There is a wide variety, but the 2 most common mm-hmm. are inefficiency and kind of surprise inefficiency, I would say. We used to be very good at achieving our goals. We used to be running at high efficiency. We grew, and now something is off, right? I sometimes say my clients are often victims of their own success because they have outgrown the practices that got them where they are. So we feel inefficient. We've stopped being able to achieve our goals as we've grown. Another very common sort of time my clients arrive is when the leaders are struggling to delegate despite trusting their team members. So they have a personal connection, they mm-hmm. believe in their team members, and they're still not able to hand over ownership. That often comes back to not having the role defined, because it's different for me to delegate to an individual mm-hmm. and to a role, and you need both of those pieces in place for effective delegation to happen.
Very good. So how do you measure the success? When you come in, you see like before and after. So how do you sort of work with your clients on that aspect?
That usually comes back to the pain point that brought them to me. Mm-hmm. Most common are, do we start hitting our goals? Do we start operating more efficiently? And mm-hmm. Your measure of efficiency is going to be very different if you're a manufacturer versus a professional services company, mm-hmm. for example. But we lean into their key business metrics. Employee retention and onboarding time are two other really common metrics that this work tends to positively influence. Because when an individual knows what's expected of them and can really lean into the work, they have that invisible infrastructure. Uh-huh. It's there. It's supporting them. They can be most effective, and they're much more likely to stay with an organization for longer. Similarly, when there's clearly defined practices, processes, infrastructure, onboarding becomes much more straightforward because you're communicating a known system instead of having somebody kind of trying to absorb the mm-hmm. the culture and the expectations over time.
Great. So, Belle, we are almost towards the end of the conversation here. So if you are talking to a group of business owners and they're looking for some suggestions, what would you advise?
Depends on the size of the business owners, et cetera. But probably the key thing I would ask any business owner to reflect on, if you had any key person in your business suddenly vanish, is the role mm-hmm. without the name attached to it something that is sustainable, reasonable, logical? Because it's very easy to shape our expectations around individuals, particularly mm-hmm. our highest potential, highest performing individuals. When we do that with intention and decision mm-hmm. and a succession plan and a thought about, okay, this works now, here's how we might redivide it if we need to, then that can be a beautiful thing. When we wake up one morning and realize that we have created a tangled spaghetti mess that works right now in this moment, but makes it impossible to replace or expand or contract, we're stuck. And if we don't try to start untangling the spaghetti and getting everything defined and ready for our next growth step now, it's only going to become more complicated and more complex. So my recommendation is to start today thinking about how you can best define and support your key team members so that they have everything they need to be as effective and successful as they want to be.
Great advice, Belle. So now my last question, what's the best way to reach out if any of our listeners want to contact you?
The two best ways to reach out are through my website at bellevueconsulting.com or through LinkedIn, Belle K. Walker on LinkedIn. So I'd love to hear from any of your listeners.
Thank you so much for your time, Belle. It was great talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
So listeners, I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back next week. Until then, you take care and have a wonderful weekend.
Business by the Bay with your host, Ajay Sani. Join us next time as we discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions.